Why is it the same repetitive mistakes continue to rob salespeople of more commission checks, regardless of industry, size of company, or region of the globe? These same inhibitors are holding us back from reaching our full potential. Amongst many industry awards, Ian Selby achieved the accolade of top salesperson in the world at Apple. And in this podcast, he will discuss the issues that sales professionals encounter from his own experiences, confessing to the problems he has endured and how he overcame them, giving the benefit of his wisdom to everyone listening who work in the world of sales. To help you, he will reveal strategies to overcome the issues hurting salespeople and helping you reach new levels of sales success. Confessions of a Sales Pro. Less sins, more wins. With your host, Ian Selby.
Welcome to Confessions of a Sales Pro. My very special guest this week is a gentleman by the name of Marco Salinas in San Antonio, Texas. Marco is an Amazon best-selling author and has co-authored a book with the legendary sales and personal development consultant, Brian Tracy. He is a longtime student of the marketing legend himself, Dan Kennedy, and is a media and publishing consultant himself, having previously hosted a radio show on 6:30 a.m. The Answer in his hometown of San Antonio, Texas, and has been interviewed on local TV news affiliates in Houston, San Antonio, and Austin. Marco is now a podcast producer and host at Business Innovators Radio Network, helping small and medium-sized businesses to grow through various strategic media marketing assets. Marco, thanks for taking the time today, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Ian. I'm excited to be here.
I'm glad. I know you're so busy. You've got a lot going on with your shows and your publishing business and all that you're doing. So thanks for taking a time out to say hi and chat to our listeners today. I love hearing everyone's backstory. I really, what gets them started? What got them up in the morning? What was that tipping point that changed someone's, vision and purpose of their life? So that, Marco, maybe you could tell the listeners how you became an entrepreneur and maybe a short version on how you ended up in your current business as it is today.
Yes, absolutely. So let me give you the shortened version because I can ramble on quite a bit about this, but here's the condensed scenario here. So when I was a kid, I think I was one of those kids that kind of had the lemonade stand type of mindset. I was always thinking about, being a provider of services more than I was wanting to be, I guess you could say, an employee. And so in the earlier years, I think my parents kind of recognized that, and they would always mention it. They would talk a lot about it. And it just, I remember the conversation about me being a business owner when I grew up. It was kind of a common thing in my home. And so I was really just kind of set on, that's just what I'm most likely going to do. But once, life started coming along and found myself in a situation where, I needed money and I needed it relatively quick, I didn't really have the luxury of saying, let me go ahead and fulfill those goals and dreams. I just felt like I just needed to get right to work. And so I started working 9-to-5 jobs and trying to provide for my young family at the time. And I really had gotten away from those goals and dreams of being a business owner. And I also found myself in the unfortunate scenario of being kind of heavy in debt in my earlier years, again, of my relationship, my marriage with my spouse and the time period that we had, our two oldest, and they were very little at that time. And I found a guy, named Dave Ramsey, and I bought his book and, Total Money Makeover. And he explained about how to kind of snowball your debts and all that. One of the things he mentioned as well was, getting a second job. Specifically, he liked the idea of working at a pizza, delivery place because you could get paid in tips and you can make money that day and you can just keep throwing that at your debt. I never envisioned myself doing something like that, but I was willing to do whatever it took to help get my situation improved so that my family could move forward. So I started doing that. And I think the area where I was delivering, there were some good areas and there were some sketchy areas. And on one of those nights, in one of those sketchy areas, I did find myself standing before an individual with a gun pointed at my face. And this person actually was robbing me at gunpoint for probably $15, I think is what I had from that last delivery that I had made to that apartment complex. And so, you know, something happened after that, though. It caused me to do some serious reflecting. I felt like, hey, you know, I'm out here taking all these risks in late at night delivering pizzas. My life is literally on the line. And I'm thinking, this whole time I've been fearful of starting a business because of the risk. And I said, you know, I think it's less of a risk to go into business for yourself than it is to be out here ducking and dodging, you know, bullets, basically, just trying to earn some extra income for my family. And so, long story short, Ian, that really turned the situation around for me, and I started kind of just looking at life in a different way and through a different lens, as if, hey, tomorrow's not promised. You might as well go ahead and do what you really want to do. And at that point forward, I started setting out to transition away from 9 to 5 and into, you know, self-employment. And that's exactly what I did. A couple of years later, I found myself starting a financial services business. And I ran that for about 13 years. COVID had a big impact on it. During that time period, though, I started realizing that what I loved the most within running that business was the marketing. I love the sales and I love the marketing. But I'm not the greatest salesman. You're a sales guy. You have a big focus on sales, and I'm not the greatest salesman in the world. So to help to kind of recover, I guess you could say, from some of my shortcomings, I discovered that by improving the marketing, I didn't have to be as great of a salesman because the marketing was actually doing a lot of the heavy lifting for me. And so that was a big revelation for me. I said, hey, wait a minute, I can actually sell better if I can market better. And so I was hooked once I discovered that. I mean, that was basically it. And the main thing that did that for me was what we call authority marketing. And this was something that I decided that I was going to go ahead and go all in on. And I started, you know, employing those tactics within that financial services business. And then eventually I said, I want to do this for others. This is really fulfilling. I want to help other businesses to achieve these same results. And that's where I am today. Now I'm doing that full time. I'm helping businesses to achieve that exact same goal and that exact same scenario because I've seen it work. I've seen it with my own eyes and my own business, and I've seen it now working with other businesses that I've been able to help. And so this is my main thing now, Ian, and this is what I'm all in with at this moment in time.
Marco, what an amazing backstory. Holy cow. From lemonade stand, I love that. I feel like we must have something in common because I was one of those guys selling lemonade back in the day as well. It's all about location, location, location. Where did you set it up? You got the most traffic. And what a, you know, supporting your family. So you've got a heart of gold, and that's amazing. But your story is kind of from gunpoint to turning point, right? When the light bulb came on for you. It's like, what am I doing here? I got to pursue my dreams. And your dreams are in marketing. And I love what you said about that. I truly do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean it. So your background and experience is with marketing, as you so, you know, well described. Tell us about why it is so important for even small businesses to invest in marketing. Because I see a lot of them, and they work on their product, or they work on their location, but the marketing is kind of an afterthought. Why is it so important that they make some investment in the whole area of marketing, Marco?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the answer to that question, Ian, comes from a place where a lot of the business owners that are out there, I've discovered, are really good at their trade or whatever their craft is, right? So if you're an attorney, then, you know, hey, I'm really putting this effort into being the best, whatever type of law that I practice attorney that I can be. If I'm a plumber, you know, I really know all the ins and outs of being a great plumber. If I'm a chiropractor, I know all the latest, you know, movements and the latest strategies to help you to find relief from your pain and on and on and on. And while these things are extremely important, they do ignore one factor in that you can continue to be the best of the best at the actual trade or craft, like I said, that you're involved in. But if you're not spending time in figuring out how to attract clients into your door, to take advantage of your greatness and, you know, your skills and your talents, then really what good does that do? So I one of the things that I learned a long time ago from my mentor, Dan Kennedy, was that he said, we're not really necessarily in the business of whatever that trade is. We're really in the business of marketing that trade. And so I think we have to have a somewhat of a mindset shift on this, because again, we can keep being really good at that stuff, and you're probably going to get some referrals just simply because you're so good. But what I've found is that that's not necessarily in and of itself a sustainable business growth model. Usually businesses need to have systems in place, and one of those systems is they need to have a reliable source of lead generation to come, you know, keep these new clients coming in and flowing and replacing the previous ones that left. Otherwise, if you're just relying on the fact that, hey, I did a really good job for Mr. Joe Smith over there, Joe Smith may or may not tell people. He may be very satisfied with the job that you did, but not everyone is the type of person to go around and recommend and refer you no matter how good you are. And so, again, it's not really a reliable strategy, you know, in terms of business process to go ahead and build and grow the company by just relying on that. And so effort needs to be made to implement these types of systematic strategies to ensure that you have a reliable source of new business that's coming in the door. Don't get me wrong. You can also build a system of reliable repeat business by setting up strategies to ensure that people are referring. But if you're just basically saying, hey, I'm going to do a great job and I know that the business will come, typically that doesn't work, especially if you have goals of scaling up and you want to get bigger. You can forget about that, because the more overhead you have, the bigger your office is, the more staff, you know, those kind of things, the more you're going to really, really need to rely on that system of lead generation and marketing to keep those pipelines filled up.
Absolutely. I love what you said. I had a glimpse of thought as you were speaking, Marco, that, you know, having a marketing plan, having that reliable lead attraction, lead generation system, that it's not just, you know, one and done. It's a system that needs to be replicated and perhaps tweaked on an ongoing basis. But it takes the hope out of business growth. The business growth, you know, hopefully Mr. Smith does give you a referral. But some businesses, they're one and done. They buy something and they won't need another for 5 years. So, you know, the repeatability on some business models just isn't ripe for hope, right? So I love how you framed it, Marco. I really do. Really interesting.
Thank you.
So what specifically, you mentioned this earlier, authority marketing. What specifically is authority marketing? And how do you help your clients with this? Like, maybe you could, you know, share some of your secret sauce here.
Yeah, absolutely. I look at authority marketing as a positioning strategy. So that key word right there, positioning, is it's a big one, and it's one that every single business owner or business professional, excuse me, or entrepreneur should be thinking about. What is my positioning within my particular niche or my particular market? Am I a somebody or am I an absolute nobody in this space? I think we can all agree, Ian, that when your number one objective is to solicit business from anyone, being a nobody typically doesn't work very well. You've got to be, in some way, shape, or form, you've got to be a someone. So we like to kind of circumvent the process by creating a manufactured celebrity within your niche. Now, no one's saying you have to be the next Dave Ramsey, but you should certainly be following his strategies in terms of that. Now, I talked earlier about him in the sense that I used his methods to help me kind of get out of debt, but we also kind of study him from a whole entire different viewpoint, which is the celebrity business owner impact, which we could all agree whether we like his methods of financial strategies or not. That really doesn't matter. The man is absolutely brilliant in what he's done to market himself as a celebrity. He has this radio show. He's written several books. I mean, we could pretty much say that at this point, the guy is just about a household name. I mean, pretty much everyone knows who Dave Ramsey is, at least has a basic idea of who he is and what he's doing. And so that proves that those strategies, those types of strategies, have the potential to be absolutely gargantuan. They can be absolutely enormous. And so even if a business is using them on a small scale, we found that it can really make a difference. Because remember, you're not necessarily trying to be a household name. You just want to be a someone within your specific niche, or sometimes we call it getting slightly famous, right? If you go to a trade show for your, you know, respective niche, people should have at least a general idea of who the heck you are. They should see you as, oh, here's the guy coming in. He's got that popular podcast, and he's written several of these books, and I've been following him for years, and, you know, he's a somebody. But outside of that, that trade show, nobody would have a clue who the guy is, and that's perfectly okay. As long as you're a someone to your target market or within your market niche, you're doing okay. And that's exactly what these authority marketing strategies do. They elevate you. They put you on a higher status in the mind of your prospects or your clients. And we use resources like these wonderful marketing assets like books or podcasts or media appearances or magazines or newsletters. All of these things contribute to elevating your status higher in the mind of your prospect. Now, for me, myself, Ian, when I started implementing these things, there was one thing that I noticed in particular. When I started adding these to the mix, I started being a little bit more chased from the prospects versus me having to do all the chasing and me having to go after them. And the moment that I got a little taste of that, I was just completely blown away, because I always thought, well, that's just the way this works. You know, if you want business from someone, you basically have to chase after them. I didn't even think that there was a way that you could turn the tables on that scenario and have people starting to kind of chase after you and starting to value your time, not seeing you as just another sales guy anymore, but really seeing you as an expert and somebody who it's kind of a privilege even to spend time with. Talk about flipping the script around on that one, right? I mean, that's just a total game changer, and that's what the power of authority marketing can do.
Brilliantly said. To me, that's a brilliant, proven strategy. And that's really, because it's proven. You yourself have proven it, that it can be replicated. And I love the idea of going from pursual to attraction. You're right. Everybody in sales thinks they've got to do all the chasing. But if you can, if you can implement authority marketing in your business with someone like yourself to help them, now you've got, now your phone's starting to ring. You're not just dialing it every day. So that changes the game big time, as you said. And most salespeople have brochures, and, we've got this. That's our sales tool. That helps us position in the market. But that's got nothing like a book or a podcast or something that elevates you as a thought leader in your category, in your market space. Love what you said with that, Marco. Brilliant. Really brilliant. So then you've got another phrase that I know that you use and you like to talk about and you publish around it as well. What is platform networking? Maybe you could give us a couple of examples of what that means.
So here's the beauty of platform networking, Ian. We have a live and on-the-spot example of it right here, right now. What you and I are doing is a perfect example of platform networking. You are using this platform that you have, your podcast, to bring on guests like myself that prior to me coming on your show, you didn't know who I was and I didn't know who you were. And so now the two of us are spending, 20, 30 minutes together here. We're getting to know each other. You're learning about my story. I'm talking to you. And we're doing networking, and we're actually able to take that networking and do something with it. We can take this podcast and turn it into now an evergreen marketing asset that's out there for the both of us to benefit from. You benefit from having yet another guest on your show. I benefit from being a guest on your show, and we're kind of able to rub shoulders, so to speak, digital shoulders, by kind of rubbing off of each other's influence. And that, again, that elevates both of us at the exact same time. And then this content is produced and it's put out there. It doesn't go away. It's going to be out there for a long time for people to stumble upon. Maybe a year or two from now, somebody may find this and say, you know what, that's exactly what I needed. That's what I was looking for. And then that can turn into a potential client. So platform networking is specifically using your platform to get to know people, and hopefully people that you can forge some sort of a good business relationship with, either one direction or the other or both. Or again, worst case scenario, you're just kind of helping each other out and making sure that, that both of us are elevating our status through these awesome, you know, marketing tools and resources like a podcast. So this is a literal example of platform marketing and I'm sorry, platform networking. And this is a strategy that, in my opinion, it, it works a lot better than going to the, you know, the mixer. While I do think that there's a place for those things and going to in-person live networking events, you should absolutely do those. I typically leave those feeling a little bit, you know, not maybe not as proud of myself as I would like to in terms of what I've taken away from that. I don't really a lot of times go to those events and then leave saying, man, that was just extremely productive and I've got this lined up and I've got that lined up. Whereas when I go on a podcast, I really, really feel productive. I feel like it was a great usage of my time to have that discussion and have that interview. So in a nutshell, that's what platform networking is, Ian.
It's you know, taking that thought leadership concept and turning it into action and showcasing it. And you're right. We do these podcast episodes together and it's going to be there out in the ether forever, right? Someone might hear it 5 years from now and go, I got to get a hold of that Marco guy. He was talking about platform networking. I need a coach to help me get that done. So great example, Marco. Really, really cool example. So what does your book creation and publishing process look like for small owners? Instead of just thinking, oh, we need a new website, we need some more brochures, let's see if that helps us. You know, give us a glimpse, some insight into doing it via book creation and publishing. Well, how does that look and how is that different?
Yeah, so again, one of my favorite resources for building authority is absolutely with a book. The problem is that obviously writing a book is a very time-consuming process, and there's a lot of nitty-gritty steps that go into putting all that together. Typically, the people that we're working with are too busy to carve out time to do things like that, and we're talking about primarily professional service providers as well as coaches and consultants and other types of entrepreneurs. Usually, they are running around and growing their business and meeting with people and doing all these different things. And, you know, to be able to sit there and write a book is just, most likely it's just not going to happen. They believe in the concept. They want a book. They just cannot find the time or the resources to get it done. And also when you outsource, the process of having a book done for you, typically that's a $15,000 plus, cost project. It really is. I mean, if you've got a ghostwriter, and they're doing all that for you. If you look around right now, the average going rate for a 100-page book, ghostwritten and done for you, is about $15,000. And then if you want them to kind of add on some other goodies or help you to market it in different, bigger distribution, it could go $50,000 plus. So, I mean, we are talking about a huge, significant investment. So you've got a time investment or you've got a money investment. What we've done is, we've kind of tried to circumvent both of those problems. We have a process that makes it super easy for the business owner to get a book done. It's very quick and fast. We can get the book done in 30 days or less by using a formula where we basically have the person come on our podcast. We interview them. We ask them the correct questions that would apply to their ideal prospect. And then we transcribe that audio and we create a question and answer book out of it. We have a kind of a sweet spot that we found works best, which is somewhere between 60 to 80 pages long, so it's not super long. And because it's question and answer, typically people don't mind reading a few pages out of that. You know, people are busy, and we live in what I call the digital attention span economy where, things are getting thrown at us nonstop. We're bombarded with marketing things, especially with our phones. And so, we've got TikToks that are 30 seconds long and Reels and all these things. And so people are always trying to get in front of us with these little bite-sized amounts of information. And we really, in reality, we're offering them something very similar, but in the book format. And so we keep it small, we keep it easy to read and digest. And we found that the prospects that we are giving our books to absolutely love this. They appreciate it. They like the fact that you're not making them feel like they're going back to university again and spending time there and learning a whole new thing. They want something that they can just grab onto very easily and process and figure out, okay, is this guy the right fit? Is this gal the right fit? Yes or no? And usually what we find is when you lead in with a book, you're coming in as an educator and an advocate versus just simply someone who is trying to sell to them. So the book works absolutely magnificent in this regard. We also keep the pricing very affordable. So a whole entire project is usually right around $5,000 or so for this. So when you compare that to the $10,000, the $15,000, the $50,000, you know, obviously it's an enormous amount of you know, more affordability that's involved with this whole process. It's quick, it's fast, and we're able to get that book into your hands in 30 days so that you can start distributing it out and giving it away to your ideal clients and prospects.
That's amazing. And that, so Marco, having, you know, authored 6 books myself, I know firsthand how much time, effort, and energy and rewrites and edits that takes. If you were around when I was writing my books, I would have said, Marco, boom, $5,000, it's all yours. And I think that's even, you know, I mean, how valuable is our time? If you can get someone to outsource that to someone who's in the business, proven it, doing that, and you can go making money with your time instead, it's a double win. So the idea of thought leadership in a book format done for you in 30 days, that is amazing. Like, you've really compressed the time for people. That's huge value you're offering, Marco. Congratulations, Matt.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
So I'm sure you've stimulated, and I was making notes, so I'm sure you've stimulated a lot of thought in the minds of our listeners today. I'm sure there's people want to get a hold of your book, they want to get a hold of your service, they want to see some examples of your work and talk to you, open some dialogue with you. How can our listeners reach out to best get a hold of you, Marco?
So I usually direct people to my website, first and foremost, expertpublishing.associates. Instead of .com, it's .associates. There you can find a little bit more information as well. I have a presentation, like a webinar, that explains this 30-day book process. We call it the Rocket Book Process. So if you go there, you can click on Learn More, and you can watch my my presentation about that. You can also find me on LinkedIn as well, Marco Salinas. If you search Expert Publishing, you should be able to find that. And I'm on Twitter as well. It's at publisher_Marco.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Again, Marco, on behalf of all of our listeners today, I want to thank you very much for taking the time and sharing this incredible wisdom with us. Thank you.
Pleasure's all mine, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Confessions of a Sales Pro.
If you have found this episode informative and helpful, we would be honored and appreciative if you would share this podcast with other great salespeople like yourself. And we look forward to you joining us for all new episodes weekly, every Thursday. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. If you'd like us to help you grow your sales commissions, visit us at salesmentoryou.com. Confessions of a Sales Pro. Less sins, more wins. With Ian Selby.